Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Busy old show today. We'll be looking back about how Barca went 2 points clear at the top of the table after a convincing win for them and a defeat for Real Madrid away against Levante. Plus, Juventus with that victory away against Spal. And Erling Haaland just cannot stop scoring. Craig Burley, Stevie Nicol here in the studio with me. Frank LeBeuf, smile, Frank, is with us as well. We'll start, though, in the Premier League. Let's just take you through the results from today. In the late game, we saw City beat Leicester by 1-0. Jesus coming off the bench to score the winner there. Saints with a 2-0 victory away at home against Aston Villa. 1-1 between Sheffield United and Brighton. Crystal Palace with a 1-0 victory over Newcastle. Burnley beating Bournemouth by 3-0. But in the early game, the big talking point, Chelsea taking on Spurs. 2-1 it finished to Frank Lampard's side. We'll talk about the game overall in a minute. But first, let's focus, shall we, on this incident in the 51st minute. Lo Celso got away with it. Obviously, VAR would check the stamp. In the end, it gave nothing. 10 minutes later, word came from the FA that, in fact, VAR had got it wrong. This is a farce, isn't it, Craig?
When this flicked up here on the screen, decision no red. I mean, it was incredulous, wasn't it? I mean, it was just incredible. When VAR said they got it, VAR were just these people are close. I feel sorry for Michael Oliver, the referee. He's another one of England's top referees, and he is officiating a game that he's reliant on some clown sat in Stockley Park who's looking at this and can't even see that's a red card. As soon as it rolled in, I was like, oh, that's it, he's got to go.
Yeah.
He's got to go. Unanimously, everyone who saw it, Stevie, apart from the one guy who's trained.
Eleanor said it was a penalty.
Your missus?
First thing she, when I showed her, right. The first thing she said was, oh, that's red. And I went, no, they never got a red. And she went, what? My missus.
Who's not a big football fan before
no.
we start. Yeah.
No. I mean, seriously, it's actually very difficult to come up with a reason why somebody wouldn't give a red card for that. I really can't think. You would expect that the official who's in charge of this is qualified, is experienced. It makes... I don't know what to tell you. I have never seen a challenge that has got red card written all over it any more than this.
Frank, what do you think?
Well, I think it's getting very annoying because it's appalling, because it's not the first time. And I guess it's not going to be the last time. To tell you the truth, I was watching on the French television the game, and the commentator after the foul said no red card. I mean, the referee is crazy. And I texted him and I said, don't hammer the referee. It's nothing to do with him. It's the guy in the bush who doesn't understand football. Mm. And I saw the game Sheffield against Brighton. It happened the same, where a Sheffield player stamped on the player, and they checked the VAR and they say nothing. I mean, it's getting common now to see that, where of course it's a straight red card, and it's crazy. And on top of it, Lo Celso did a Maguire, when I say that, a Maguire, when he stretched his leg in the first half and got away with that. So I don't know, it's hard because the referees on the field has nothing to do with it, can't be helped by the monitor. But the guy in the booth, I don't know, either he's blind or knows nothing about football. But if you know a little bit of football, it's a straight red card. There is no discussion about that.
And yet again, it happened within 5 yards of the monitor.
Well, actually, I'm not sure the monitor's on that side.
Oh, OK.
And I made that mistake as well.
All right, then.
Sorry about that.
Take that.
But,
hey, listen. Listen, Mourinho was 2 yards away and he never saw it.
No,
so
because I was tweeting out the other week about the monitor, and I think actually they've put them. In fact, I think they hide the monitor.
I don't think, yes, I hide it amongst the fans.
Just in case the referee fancies going over, keep it out the road.
No, they hide
right?
the monitor. They stick it among the fans, and then they've got to play some hide and seek thing where the referee's got to go and find it, waste about 20 more minutes. That would make more sense at the moment. Do you remember the VAR on, and I tweeted this out earlier, the Sun incident against Rudiger?
Yeah.
At Tottenham Stadium recently, in the last few weeks or whenever it was, when he stupidly just threw his leg up in the air from a lying-back position. It was rash and it was silly. There was hardly any contact, and Rudiger made the most of it. But they decided, because there was an action, and it was they said it could have been violent, they sent him off. Here we have an incident where there's clear downward motion, so there's the weight behind it, on top of Azpilicueta, whose leg bends, so there's a danger of a breakage or an ACL or something going, and it's ruled differently. I mean, it's a clear stamping motion, and watch this. Watch Azpilicueta's leg. Now, have his studs are fully planted in the ground there, which they weren't, they were kind of side on. That's a leg breaker, because once your studs are planted in the ground, there's nowhere for your foot to go, there's no give, unless the turf comes away. So Azpilicueta was very lucky. Frank Lampard touched on this. He said, when I moaned about VAR and the officials after the Man United game, people thought it was sour grapes because they lost on the Maguire incident. But it's not, because it's. I think he's a pretty honest, like most of them, he's a pretty honest and straight up guy. And he said, look, I'm telling you again, after a win, it's not good enough.
Right.
It is not good enough. And to Stevie's point, if you ever thought, and we'll get to Mourinho in a bit, if you ever thought he was still not in the bluff game, which he is, it's I didn't see it.
Yeah.
When he stood absolutely staring straight at it, and yet he comes out after it, Mr. Bluffer, I didn't see it.
Let's be honest, Lo Celso could have got sent off earlier as well.
Yes, yeah, look, the instant that Frank said,
yeah.
It's crazy, but Craig has a solution. Someone who could step in the VAR booth and do a better job. Well, this is certainly according to him. That is Barney the dog, isn't it, Craig?
Yes.
Your Barney, your Labradoodle. Just showed him the instant. He said straight red, no question. There you go.
Well, Stevie's message thought it was a red. He thought it was a red. The only people who didn't think it was a red were the FIFA-accredited referees
that are getting employed to do that.
Right, away from that incident.
To be fair, we're making a joke of it, but that's what it's become.
Away from that incident, Chelsea were the much better side. Spurs were terrible. Jose Mourinho, but after the game, came out the same excuses he did after that defeat midweek, saying, I haven't got any strikers, my players are tired. He then went on to say, I would love it to be July the 1st. It's going to be three long months for us. The next 3 months are going to be very difficult. Extraordinary statement to say from a manager.
Who's he kidding? Do you know, I would have some sympathy for him if Tottenham had been playing the ball out the back, were playing balls forward to whoever was playing in the centre-forward position at the time, and the ball was bouncing off them and ricocheting and they couldn't hold it up. I would have some sympathy for them. The fact is, they could have had Harry Kane playing today. It would have made no difference to them whatsoever. They couldn't play out from the back because they're not good enough, and then when they did try and play it long, they just booted it. They weren't trying to drop the ball over the middle into somebody up front. They were just kicking it. So regardless of whether it was Harry Kane, a young man's song, it could have been anybody and it would have made no difference. That's how bad they were.
If you're Daniel Levy and you've got your manager, the man you're paying millions of pounds a year, coming out and saying, I'll tell you what, the rest of the season's a write-off, don't bother coming.
I'll tell you what, Daniel Levy's not looking forward to July the 1st because he's going to have a pain in the backside, pestering them and being in the media and doing what he always does to trip. And we wondered if the wormwood turn when he got this job. Would the leper change his spots? And we're getting clear analysis now that it's not. And when it gets to the summer and Tottenham play this card that they always play about running a very tight ship, he's going to let loose again. Stevie's right, and I've been saying it for weeks now. Their ball retention is terrible, whether Harry Kane's in the side, Hung Min Son or not. They shell it forward, they don't keep it. They don't pass it well. There's no real clear plan to what they're doing, like Chelsea have and had. And yet, it's constantly blaming the striker and tiredness. My players are tired. Mm. They're getting a rest. He's not running. He's not battering them in training in between games. They're resting. Most of them are quite young, by the way. It's Captain Deflecto coming out again and doing what he's always done. And yet, you know what the strange thing is? Is that the majority of Tottenham fans that I hear from, and moan at me or whoever for suggesting this, think that he's got some big master plan around the corner and we're all wrong. I just don't see it that way.
Frank, how would you react if you were one of those Spurs players and heard your manager basically talking about the rest of the season being a write-off?
Well, when you know Mourinho, I guess when you're a player under him, you maybe think that he tries to deflect the problem and put everything on him, the pressure on him, like that. You forget the players And maybe Daniel Levy will understand that. I will have a discussion with him and he will tell him that, don't worry, I play with the press, I play with the media, and I just say what they want to hear. And they, like that, they're gonna be very on me and forget about the players. But the problem is you don't resolve anything with doing that, because you have a problem on the field. And as the guy says, even if you have the player that you normally have, and I can add Sissoko in the midfield zone, they don't have a plan. They barely have a plan defensively, where they play at five at the back, and they just try to defend, but they're so far away from the opponent that they can't reach anything, and they are in a very bad situation. And instead of saying that, maybe try to see if there is a way for your player players to be better and to play a better football. But it seems that it's always about what can I say to the press to be in the front page. And that's a problem for me.
Meanwhile, Frank, in the late game, we saw Manchester City beat Leicester City by 1-0. I don't know about you. This was kind of a weird one to watch, considering it was second versus third in the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was an interesting game, but I don't know. When I watch Manchester City, it's like after that I watched Real Madrid, that I think that the players, they want to go inside the net, inside the goal, into the net with the ball. And the only time where they score the goal is because they had a straightforward attack with Mahrez dribbling everybody and going forward and giving the ball to Jesus. So It gets into me the way that, as we say in French, they need their football. They go around, they try to make a nice football, but they're not very effective. It's what I like the Liverpool game. It's like I like Leipzig, Dortmund, you know, they go forward. And I have problems with Paris, with Manchester City or Barcelona. They are fantastic clubs, fantastic teams but it gets boring, because say, when they're going to try to shoot, when they're going to try to finish their action by a shoot, by something, instead of trying to go into the net with the ball, that gets into my nerve, in fact.
Just quickly, I know we've got to go, just quickly, not on Man City, let me just go back a little bit. Tottenham Hotspur can still win the FA Cup, finish in the top four, and they're not out of the Champions League. If I was a player or a board member, I've got a heck of a lot to play for. The other side of the coin is, if I'm Harry Kane and I know he's not fit, I'm sitting watching Tottenham over the last few weeks and thinking, I do not want part of this going forward next season. Agent, get me out of here, because this is going to stink next year.
Let's just remind you then how things stand after today's results. As you mentioned, Spurs now 4 points off Chelsea in fourth. Manchester City closed the gap to what? 19 on Liverpool? Big week ahead for Real Madrid, Manchester City midweek, and then the Clásico against Barcelona. Before that, though, the little matter of Levante away. This would be far from a good performance from Zinedine Zidane's side. Rare chances created. The best coming to Eden Hazard here, 8 minutes into the second half, but he's clearly not sharp at the moment.
No, not at all. I mean, initially, his first touch doesn't get it out of his feet. It ends up bobbling around under his knees. And then when you see the actual final shot at goal, it just lacks composure and concentration for me. That's just horrible.
He would then have to limp off a few minutes after that.
Who's injured more, him or Bale?
Oh, Bale, definitely. Bale, by the way, not in the squad for today's game. 11 minutes to go. Morales scores quite the winner.
It's a brilliant goal. I mean, it really is. Absolutely fantastic. It's Modric gets caught in the right back area, ball over the top. No real danger now. For some reason, particularly you'll see it on this angle, he goes low. Courtois, instead of just standing tall, he's 6'4".
He drags his hands away as well. It's very strange. Levante then with the win.
But I mean, he's 6'4", Dan. You know, if he's... All right, he's 6'4".
If he stood up, we could have went like that.
But I understand he maybe have thought he was going to go low.
Right.
Strike. But the whole part of being a top goalkeeper is the agility to get down and deal with it. He's already down there waiting on it, and it goes into the roof of the net, and by the way, it doesn't go in underneath, it doesn't clip the bottom of the crossbar, so it's not right in the top. And for a guy who's so tall, he's already halfway down.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, he pulled his hands away. It wasn't good from him at all.
Real Madrid have not been good.
No.
Obviously, a draw against Celta Vigo last weekend, and now a 1-0 defeat against Levante.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Up front, they just seem flat.
Do you know, Dan, I'm going to say that this upcoming game with City must have been in their mind. You know, anybody who never saw this game, if you watch those two highlights, it tells you all you need to know about what happened. You know, one chance for Hazard. Again, lackadaisical from him, lack of composure, just wasn't sharp. That was Real Madrid all over. And at the end, just falling asleep. And the fact that Modric is in the right back position, what is he doing there?
Yeah.
Just all over the place. And then Courtois, just the cherry on the top. We can't explain what he's doing. So I'm going to turn around and tell you that this performance for me was all about thinking about City.
Do you agree, Frank? Was this complacency from Real Madrid?
Yes, it was. And I go with Steve and Craig saying that Real Madrid is not in very good shape. And sometimes you wonder why a player is playing in that position and another one there. And again, there is no change of pace in their game. They build the action. They go until inside the 16-yard box. But there is no, I don't know, something special who used to come from, let's say, Ronaldo, to name a few. And something special never comes. And then on the other end, when you see Levante, you say, well, they create, they want to go forward, they give everything they want, they need and they can, and they score a fantastic goal because they try things. And it's not how many times you keep the ball, how many passes you do, it's not about statistics, it's about scoring goals. And you don't see that because you, I don't know, something is wrong. I don't know if it's a lack of composure. I don't know if it's a lack of concentration. It's maybe a lack of confidence also for Eden Hazard. Since the beginning of the season, it's been like that. And, I wonder just before the Clásico if Real Madrid can even cope with Barcelona.
Speaking of Barcelona, they were taking on Eibar today at the Camp Nou. Remember, I think Messi went into this game 4 matches without finding the back of the net.
Oh, he's gone.
That's it. Completely. Exactly. The critics are out. 14 minutes in, he would make amends for that. Lovely little run, little nutmeg as well, would make it 1-0.
I mean, all the best stopping him. Look at this for a Meg. I mean, you talk about understanding what's going on around you. Phenomenal.
8 minutes to go in the first half. Messi makes it 2-0.
I mean, that's just... I know Eibar are struggling a little bit, but that doesn't really matter. You watch the little runoff of Vidal, then he's got the balance, the change of pace, and then obviously the finishing.
Eibar, they're messing around at the back. That's a really sensible thing to do. Messi eventually makes it 3-0.
Well, it's nice to see him and Griezmann walking together there. Little 1-2. Yeah, I mean, you can't give this guy any opportunity. Griezmann, no idea there's a defender there, but guess what? Messi knows exactly what's going on.
Martin Braithwaite then would come on to replace Antoine Griezmann with 20 minutes to go. And he would find the assist, actually, for Lionel Messi's 4. There you go.
Yeah, if only Leganés had that, maybe they'd have a chance of staying up. We'll get there later on. Yeah, I mean, I bet he can't believe it. Kind of coming off the bench, you know, signing for Barcelona on the same park as Messi.
And then it would be Braithwaite's shot that would be saved. Arthur's there on the follow-up to make it 5-0. Big result for Barca on the day. Big result as well, big picture, because it now puts them top of La Liga, 2 points clear of Real Madrid. Remember, next Sunday, it's El Clásico at the Bernabeu. Frank will come back and join us on Extra Time. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We didn't actually get around to talking about Chelsea, really, in their win against Spurs. We talked about Mourinho and, of course, VAR a lot as well. But did the boys take anything away from Chelsea's overall performance against Spurs today?
I think Lampard touched on it. The what rate? He was able to make changes himself.
Yeah. Giroud obviously made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, he's just somebody that they can play off, and obviously his goal was a great finish. But he just gives him something that the rest of them can play off with his physicality. He does it for France when Griezmann and Mbappe play off him. He's not had much game time, but, you know, I think Lampard said himself, his attitude's been excellent. Mount played well again. He changed the shape. Alonso's good in it as a wing-back, comes in, scores a great goal. Lampard showed that he could be flexible.
Frank Leboeuf is with us as well. Frank, are you surprised about how reluctant Lampard has been to use Giroud?
Not really. I mean, after the game that I saw, you know, and seeing Batshuayi last game, I don't understand why Giroud is not the next substitute of Abraham. He showed composure, he showed commitment and efficiency, scoring a goal. I like the character of the person. He doesn't let go. He always sticks to the what the coach will say. So he's a perfect example of what the player should be. So I think Frank Lampard should consider a little bit more the potential of Olivier Giroud and what he can bring to the club.
Should Mourinho, Stevie, be able to sign an emergency striker? It's off the back of Frank.
Only if there's a rule in place, then yes. But if there's not, then tough luck.
I tell you what he should be allowed to do. He should be allowed to go and sign Braithwaite.
Yes.
Take him away from Barcelona. so they can cry again about their non-emergency situation. No. Messi and Griezmann. That's a disaster.
We said that on the show, though. I mean, seriously, if Harry Kane had been playing in this game, it wouldn't have made any difference.
Yeah.
You've got to give the centre-forward, whoever's up front, a chance to get the ball at least, never mind score a goal, and that just wasn't happening with this Spurs team.
This is from Craig Burley, speeding tickets, very good. Stevie...
Well, I tell you what, it wouldn't come from Craig Burley, speeding tickets. If you didn't tell everybody...
Well, you tell everybody.
I tell you in confidence. I'm going to come on here and tell everybody, right?
Why, is it a secret?
It's not a secret. I'm just maybe the local law enforcement is sitting watching and going, right, we'll have a little pop at him again when he
goes
on the little back roads home, waiting for me. When it drops to 25, crawling.
Stevie, should Manchester City hire a penalty coach? Haven't scored 5 out of their last 7.
How about a psychiatrist?
Oh,
that's what penalties are all about. What's going on between your ears? Right, that's good. You used to take penalties all the time.
Yeah.
Some people can and some people can't.
They should hire me.
Who is your man? Go and ask him.
Some people can and some people can.
Hold on, you're saying I'm better at
can't. I can't.
So, something wrong with your ears?
Hey?
What? Who said that?
Would Messi fit into Man City?
No,
That was question. That was
definitely not. Frank, would you like that
Messi,
job?
Messi's not the best penalty taker either.
All right. I've got Messi.
Yeah, we love that job. Yeah. I would love that job because I know they have lots of money and I will be paid, wealthy paid, you know, for doing almost nothing, because I think it's really what you put in your head and right. How you want to kick it, you know. And I think it's quite simple, you know. Pick a side, close your eyes and shoot strong on the floor. It's
I'm
what Diskens
not too sure of me.
Closing my eyes. Frank, what are you doing in this show?
No, really, Niskens, you and Niskens say that to me.
Frank,
yeah, it's true.
It's Saturday night in Paris where you are. What the hell are you doing in this show? Why are you not out in one of those nice restaurants?
He's taking the green screen.
I don't know why, you know, because I love you guys.
Are you saving up? Is that what it is? You're saving up?
Yeah, just bought a new house.
Oh, that's it, Frank. Do you still have your Bentley, Frank? Maybe that's an issue.
But it's none of your business.
It's none of my business.
No, he's got a moped. What have you got? You've still got a moped?
He's got big Bentley as well, old Frank.
You can't drive a Bentley around.
Have you got a Bentley, Frank?
It wouldn't fit in the streets.
Yes, I do.
There you go.
Yeah. Is it a convertible Bentley?
No, why? It's Paris. It's useless, a convertible in Paris. You know, you need a roof.
bigger bus, Frank. Hazard or Griezmann?
Good grief.
Oh, my God.
Give him a chance.
Right now?
Yeah.
Can I say nobody?
Yeah, of course you can.
I don't know. They're not at their peak of their football, you know, right now. And we talked about Hazard before. I think there is a lack of almost everything, and he has to wake up because he has to serve his new club properly like he did for for Chelsea and Lille before. Griezmann is, for me, was the wrong choice last summer going to Barcelona. He has to serve the Messi. He has to serve the king of Barcelona. And there is no room for him, I think. Everything I see is quite fake.
Ooh. Well, he fit on well here then, wouldn't he?
What did you guys think of Braithwaite's debut?
Bother.
Fantastic!
Ah!
Oh, fantastic!
I've nothing against, nothing against the lad himself.
Yeah.
People say to me, I've got to stop piping on about it.
Why? Well, when's that ever stopped you?
I'm enjoying it.
Exactly.
I'm enjoying it.
You thought it was fantastic, Frank?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good, nice start. You know, one assist, almost one goal.
Yeah.
And I followed him when he was playing for Toulouse and after Bordeaux. He's a nice fellow, so I don't want to blame him, you know.
It's
a fantastic opportunity for him. So, I love him.
What was it, 3-0 when he came on?
Yes.
By the way, when's the best time to come on as a sub? I would suggest when you're 3-0 up.
Well, the game's done, you can get the cigar
out. But you can't have a vendetta
against
him.
Who's got a vendetta against
him? You seem to be taking the mickey out of him slightly.
No.
Demeaning his performance.
I'm just, if you're a substitute, listen, you only try coming on. You only try coming on when you're 3-0 down. No, when you're 3-0 up. It's perfect. If he comes on every week when they're 3-0 up, he'll be delighted.
That's some emergency though, isn't it? Messi scores 4. And you
think you have a theory about this?
Yeah. My theory is that Messi felt under pressure for his position.
Yep.
In the team. And that the signing of Martin Braithwaite has spurred Lionel Messi on to greater things.
Final question.
What?
He's not being serious, is he?
No, he's getting. He's being sarcastic.
Final question.
But a point is, it's not exactly an emergency.
You possibly think you're to tell me it wasn't me.
Because you're pulling a weird face. As
I was playing along.
No, give me that.
Jeez.
Listen, can't be too much longer. I told her to be ready at 6:30.
For Craig and Stevie, Kante, Casemiro or Fabinho in your team? Which one would you have?
At the moment, I would have Fabinho. Would I? I don't know. Kante said his injuries.
Yeah.
So is Fabinho, actually.
Oh, the injuries.
At the moment, I would have if all fit, I would have Fabinho.
Aye. Yeah?
Yes.
Who would you have, Frank?
What the name of the captain of Leipzig?
No, that's not a selection.
Sabitzer.
Kante, Casemiro or Fabinho?
Right now, Fabinho. Even if he made a mistake last week or last game, yeah.
He's got the same shape head as Fabinho. You, Frank.
Right, that's it. Frank, go to bed. Craig, go for dinner. Stevie, do whatever you're doing. That's it. ESPN FC is back tomorrow. I'll be joined by Stevie and Ali to talk about some soccer that will be happening, I'm sure, somewhere in the world. Please join us.